Over the years, some of you have asked about my license plate. It has three letters on it, and they are definitely not my initials. EQB. Ecce quam bonum. In Latin, the first words of today's psalm, Psalm 133. Ecce quam bonum. Behold how good. EQB. That might seem a little weird, and I really didn't just randomly pick that from scripture, I promise. It is the motto of my alma mater, of Sewanee. And it appears on the university seal and is often referenced as a touchstone for the community that Sewanee hopes to foster. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when kindred dwell together in unity. It's an aspirational motto for sure. We sometimes fail, we often succeed, but we continually make efforts. Behold, how good. And this is the perfect psalm for this second Sunday of Easter. It evokes many of the stories and images that we've just lived through on our journey to Easter. This day when we still vividly remember that Jesus created an entirely new family for his mother and the beloved disciple from the cross. When we are still basking in the return of Alleluia, and still savoring that sweet, sugary taste of jelly beans and Peeps. I know Peeps are a source of division for us. I happen to love them, especially the pink ones. It is a psalm of hope and promise. It is a psalm praising the very best parts of community. The kindred of whom the psalmist writes are not blood relatives, but rather a people joined by faith and by God's grace. Like John and Mary are joined from the cross. Like the disciples who are huddled together in today's gospel reading. Like all of us. It is a psalm of abundance and life. Kindred dwelling together in unity is compared to a fine oil upon the head. So much oil that it runs down Aaron's face into his beard and soaks the collar of his robe. So much oil. Evoking the hospitality shown to guests in the ancient Near East when you had oil put on your head and your feet washed upon entering a home, reminding us of Maundy Thursday. And also eliciting for us memories of Mary's extravagant anointing of Jesus just days before he died. Expensive and fragrant nard poured over him as she sat at his feet. My liturgics professor in seminary was adamant that we not be stingy with oil at baptisms. He is of the belief that it is meant to be used in abundance and that anointing should even be a little messy. Here on Sunday mornings, you get a fairly tame baptism, but we have had some that have become the thing of legend. During the pandemic, we were baptizing outside, usually in the White Garth, with just family present. When we first started, the rules that we were given by the office of the bishop were a little vague and hard to grasp, understandably, because if you remember, we didn't know how this thing spread. Could you get it from just touching someone or something? The baptizing priest was not allowed to hold the baby, nor were we even to touch the baby. That's trickier. We had two little glass pitchers, an empty one to scoop water from the font and pour on the baby's head, and one full of chrism, that oil with which we put the sign of the cross on heads in here. Well, we were supposed to take that little pitcher of oil and just drip. Repeat after me, drip. Drip oil on the baby's head, as we could not touch them. Now, I just want to be clear that I have permission to tell this story. At Richard's first baptism, following these rules, he had a bit of a mishap. He did just fine with the water. It was the oil that presented a challenge for him. For some reason, a reason even he can't explain, he poured the oil into his own hands. And as Tina reminded me just this morning, it was definitely lots of oil. And after he saw what he'd done, and oil is running through his fingers into the font, he just rubbed them together. Like that was gonna do something. It was pooling on the surface of the water in the font. It was pretty much everywhere. And not sure what to do next, he did what any oil-covered priest performing a baptism outdoors during a pandemic would do. He smeared his oil-covered hands on the head of the little baby. Because apparently, technically, smearing is not touching. Am I accurate?
The baby loved it.
Oh, yeah, this is the other thing I'm supposed to tell you. The baby loved it. And then he tried to rinse his hands in the font. There was oil on the baby, there was oil on the font, there was oil everywhere. And as often described by our then sacristan Emily and Evans, who was taking pictures of the blessed event, it was total chaos. And hilarious, and joyful, and holy. My liturgics professor would have approved. That baptism, that celebration, like the baptisms we will see shortly, was a welcoming into community, an invitation to dwell with us in unity. It is like fine oil upon the head. To be clear, we do not ask for, nor do we expect, uniformity, like your HOA demanding that your mailbox look exactly like everyone else's and be a precise distance from the curb and your driveway. We do not ask for uniformity. The aspiration set forth by the psalmist is unity, and that's actually harder. It is a desire by each and every one of us to dwell together in acceptance, in love, in shared faith. Unity requires authentic loving and patient, persistent effort. A statistic I always like to share with my catechumens, those folks who take classes before joining the cathedral, a reminder that they are far from unusual in seeking out the Episcopal Church. 70% of Episcopalians come from another tradition. 70%. Y'all come. dwell with us. Like the oil pouring down from the head, and like the dew that falls upon the hills, the ability to find unity, to dwell in it, comes from above. We are given Easter in the final lines of this psalm. For there, in this unity, the Lord has ordained the blessing, life forevermore. Resurrection promises that we will dwell in unity forever in Christ. My friends, Easter is pouring down upon us. Behold, how good.